Great. So welcome back, everybody. So this is our 10th session of Themes in Tanya. So I figured that the Lag BaOmer is on Monday night, Tuesday, so we should do a little bit about Lag BaOmer. And we're going to see it's a little bit connected to what we did last week, and it's going to lead in to Bar Mitzvah Tasha, and we're going to do next week. So Lag BaOmer is like one of these mysterious holidays, because if you go through the sources of some like regular traditional classical halachic Judaism, it's really not such a major essential day. Meaning these two Gemaras that are associated with it don't even mention Lag BaOmer at all. The first Gemara is Gemara Nivamos of Samakbis, which discusses that the students of Rabbi Akiva died. And then it says after they died, Rabbi Akiva went out and found five new students, one of whom was Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. But there's no mention of Lag BaOmer in that Gemara. If you look in the Me'iri's, the Pirish of the Me'iri on that Gemara, the Me'iri quotes a tradition from the Gaonim that the day that they stopped dying was Lag BaOmer. So it's not mentioned in the Gemara at all, but the Gemara does say that the students of Rabbi Akiva died during the time period of Sfiras Omer, and the Me'iri quotes this Mesorah that they stopped dying on Lag BaOmer, and that's why Lag BaOmer becomes a celebratory day. That's what you have in terms of like Nicholas sources, in terms of the more halachic sources. In the Nistar sources, not that I'm such a bucky Nistar, but in the Kabbalistic and Hasidic Makaros, Lag BaOmer is the day not just that the students from Rabbi Akiva stopped dying, but it's the day that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai passed away. And why is the Hilula of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai? It's the Yahrzeit side of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Why is that significant? Because Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai taught a large sections of the secrets of the Zohar on the day he died, on Lag BaOmer. And that's why we're celebrating, meaning if we're not, that's why Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's yard sign becomes like a celebratory day, because we're celebrating the revelation of the secrets of the Zohar, which became the basis of Kabbalah and the basis later of Hasidus. So you're going to find a lot of these themes about the power of Koach HaNistar and the importance of Kabbalah, and a lot of the Hasidic writings about Lag BaOmer have to do with those things. The importance of learning Pnimius Torah, the importance of learning the Zohar, the importance of learning Hasidus, because this is the day when it's a celebration of Torah HaNistar. In Chabad, you find a lot of that as well. You find a lot about Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, you find a lot about the revelation of the secrets of the Torah. And in particular, you know, Chabad is into spreading the secrets. You find Lag BaOmer as being like the model for the beginning of the process of revealing the secrets of the Torah. What I want to do today is something a little bit related, but a little bit different. I want to go through two shortish passages from the Alter Rebbe describing Rabbi Akiva and describing Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. The types of Avodas Hashem that they epitomized. And then we'll see the seventh Lubavitcher Rebbe, the last Lubavitcher Rebbe, putting these strands together to describe why Lag BaOmer is such an important day and why the Koach of Lag BaOmer is really the Koach that is going to bring the world towards Mashiach. So let's just keep that in mind. The background information is that the two reasons we celebrate Lag BaOmer is because it's the day Rabbi Akiva's students stopped dying, and it's the day of Shimon Bar Yochai revealed the secrets of Zohar. And what we're looking at the beginning, just things the Alter Rebbe said about the Avodas Hashem of Rabbi Akiva and the Avodas Hashem of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and then we'll see how the different strands fit together to create like a coherent picture about what the nature of what one aspect of Lag BaOmer is. So the first piece in the Alter Rebbe we're going to look at is Torah Or Chaf Hei Amud Beis. This is in Parshas Vayishlach, and Torah Or are some of the drushos that the Alter Rebbe gave on different Shabbosos. So we're outside of Tanya now we're in the drushos he gave. And again, the background is a little bit less important for us. Sorry, it's not it's Vayishlach Vayit. I'm trying to remember now. It's Vayishlach Vayit. He's talking about Yaakov's trick of trying to breed the sheep in a certain way, and he's going to explain that Kabbalistically. But in the middle of that discussion, he says as follows. He says, there it's Varim. There are two models, there are two types of Avodas Hashem. Ha'echad, one, which is the first type for him. Again, this is a part that's probably harder for us to relate to. Ha'ava berish ve'esh, petik boris ma'od, let's say it's mehaguf, when he paraded him in Apsila. you have this burning burning fire of love that's constantly intensifying for Hashem. And then, therefore, what does the neshama want to do? The neshama wants to leave the physical body. The neshama is like a candle. It's connected to a wick. The wick is the physical body. We parade about apsila. The neshama wants to leave the wick. It wants to leave physicality. Again, why is this associated with other Marishon? We're not going to get into now, but this is the Bechina of other Marishon. This is part of other Marishon's sin, according to the Alter Rebbe, that he had so much exuberance, so much passion, so much Abba for Hashem, that he wasn't able to contain it within his physical body, and therefore things went awry. And that's why this type of Vodach Hashem is for people who don't want to be in their physical body. They want to be able to leave physicality, to leave the shell of their body, and just be a neshama. Again, I don't think many of us experience this on a regular basis, but if you go through Sefer Kabbalah and Sefer Chassidus, this is like a real issue, that there are such people in the world, and we're going to see he associates it with certain types of tzaddikim and certain types of Vodach Hashem. You just don't want to have anything to do with the physical world. And if you're familiar with like halachic man and like those types of writings, this is what he describes as homo religiosus, somebody who just cares about spirituality, somebody who just cares about God, and like the rest of the physical world doesn't really matter so much for them. So that's the one model we have of Avodas Hashem. It's not saying it's bad per se. It's saying it leads you to a certain chatayim, but it's one model of Avodas Hashem. Then he says v'habei is the second model of Avodas Hashem. You have the hispalos, you have the excitement, you have the emotions, but it's able to be mityashev b'chle halev, it's able to settle inside your body, inside your physical being. And what is the main part of Avodas Hashem for this type of person? The first type of person wants to go lamala. You're here stuck in the physical world. You want to go from the bottom to up. This person, he has the hispalos. The person has the emotions. He has the avas Hashem. But you're able to settle it within your physical body. You're able to live in the regular world. And the goal, therefore, is to take this avas Hashem, take this connection to Hashem, and bring it down, you know, this funny abbreviation, mem lam and mem ayin lam and mem tas, tes, is the reason we know what it is. It's milamala lamata, from up to down, to be able to bring down this level of spirituality into the actual world. Dafka bekelim mekelim shonim mitorah mitzvos. Dafka specifically through the kelim, the means, the vessels of Torah mitzvos, of Torah mitzvos. So what is in the first person, as we're going to see in the next phase in the Alter Rebbe, doesn't really need physical mitzvos. Physical mitzvos aren't really a major component of their Avodas Hashem. They're purely emotional, they're purely spiritual, they're purely meditative, contemplative. The second type of person, who has the emotions, but desires to bring God down into this world, needs some channel, needs a physical channel, a material channel through which to bring God down, and that is channeling all this emotion into Torah mitzvos, into physical mitzvos. But as Hashem said, that is the way through which I come down into the world. And the Alter Rebbe says, "Zeh inyan ratzov v'shov." This is what ratzov v'shov is, the way Yechezkel describes the malachim that are standing in front of Hashem. They're running back and forth. So this term ratzov v'shov becomes very important in the Zohar and Chassidus, that the malachim are running back and forth. What's the nature of this running back and forth? So ratzo means running towards God. You're running from this world up to God. And shov is the process through which you're bringing God back down into this world. So everybody needs ratzo v'shov. The ideal of Avodah has both. There's certain people who are more inclined towards one over the other. So if you have to ask the Alter Rebbe which one is better, which one is more ideal, this is something which we're going to see explicitly in Tanya next week. But let's just read as he describes it in Torah Art. Again, I'm skipping some lines in the middle, that there's something amazing about Ratzo. There's something amazing about this like youthful exuberance and passion and spirituality and trying to like leave everything behind and just focus on Avodas Hashem. But the Tikkun, the way to fix the world, the way to bring the world to its ultimate state of rectification is Dafka by the Shov. It's Dafka by having those spiritual experiences and tapping into Hashem in a deep level, but bringing it back down into the world. And that means just like regular key in mitzvos. As we're going to see that in Chabad, and that in early Hasidus, there was this major emphasis on tefillah. Tefillah was like, if you read things from other peers, contemporaries of the Alter Rebbe, tefillah becomes the most important mitzvah. Why? Because that's where the emotions are expressed. Chabad, even in the academic literature of Hasidus, is known as the non-spiritualized Hasidus. It's through a Hasidus that focuses on spirituality, but also has a major emphasis on action. Why? Because here the author is explaining it. Because if you just want to tap into Hashem, that's tefillah, that's ratzo, it's running towards Hashem. You want to experience, you want to be able to be metaking things, you want to fix the world, so you have to have the show, if you have to bring it back down to the regular world, and that requires channels, requires physicality, that requires just pure actions, even if they're devoid of the highest levels of kavanos, just doing mitzvahs per se. And we live in this world against our will. Meaning, according to the Gemara already, the neshama doesn't want to come down into this world. And yet, Hashem puts us here. Why does Hashem put our neshamas into our body? L'hamshich or ein sof, av av samich is or ein sof, is to draw out the or ein sof, the kelim mekelim shonim, through different vessels, through different vehicles, down into this world. So that is the highest level of avoda. So the one level of avoda is just the ratzo. The ideal is to have both the ratzo and the shof. Now he's going to connect it with different people. It says v'zeria hefresh gamkein, but osan dalosh nechasu lefardes. Ben aza hitzis lemes, ben zoma hitzis v'nifka, v'rak rabbi yakiva nechnas v'shalom v'yasa v'shalom. The Gemara in Chagiga, one of the most important Gemaras for Kabbalah, says there were four Tanayim who entered Pardes. Pardes is something, but let's assume Pardes is some type of a Kabbalistic mystical experience. There were four Tanayim who entered Pardes. So if you're familiar with the Gemara, three of them ended up getting messed up. Elisha ben Avuya entered and became a heretic. Ben Zoma entered, and I'm forgetting which one did what. Ben Zoma entered and he was Nifka. He walked out and he was not sane. Ben Azai entered and he died. He saw too much and he died. And only Rabbi Akiva was Nifnas Vashalom, Biyatza Vashalom. Rabbi Akiva was able to experience things in paradise and then leave and come back down into our world. Why? What does this mean? Ki Ben Azai hay betchinas ratzo. Ben Azai was running. He's running towards Hashem. And what happened to Ben Azai? He hit the waist. He looked too much. He just left his world. He was like the flame that ultimately left the wick, and he became and he just wanted to spiritualize existence. And therefore, what do you know about Ben Azai? He didn't marry, he didn't have kids, and his demise was that he was hitzis v'meis. He looked at Hashem and he died. He wasn't of this world. He was just the ratzo without the shof. B'chinas Adam Arishon, and now like Adam Arishon, b'chinas close nefesh, like this desire of a soul. He didn't want to be, you see the language, nishpal, degraded. He didn't want to be degraded, like coming back into this world and having to deal with all the physical matters of our world. That's why the Gemara says, the Gemara doesn't explain this background. The Gemara says, Ben Azai did not want to get married. The Amar, other people could get married and have kids. I just want to learn Torah all day. That's why Ben Azai's end was he looked at Hashem and he died. Ben Azai is Milashan Azza is coming from the pasuk ki Azza kamaves ava. His love was as strong as death. That's the pasuk in Shir Hashirim. So in the metaphor is that love is as strong as death. It's like a super strong love. But the Alter Rebbe is saying about Ben Azai, it's meant literally. His love was so strong, he just died. But his love for Hashem was so much, there was nothing connecting him back to this world. So Ben Azai was a great tana. We quote Ben Azai in our Mishnayos. But there's something lacking about Ben Azai's avoda. He's not the pillar through which Torah Shabbat Peh comes down. Who is the pillar through which Torah Shabbat Peh comes down? It's Rabbi Akiva. Because what was Rabbi Akiva able to do? Ratzo v'shov. He was a makubo. He was able to niklas lefardis. He was Ben Azai's Rebbe. He was able to be niklas lefardis. But he didn't stay there. He was able to come back down to the real world. But look at the next slide. But Ben Azai's Zarek is not the path of Torah in the end of the day. It was the path of Torah, it's the path of Tikkun. Kila Shevas Yitzara. It's a pasuk in Yeshaya. Hashem gave us the Torah. Hashem created the world to settle the world, to civilize the world. The Shevas Yitzara. And yeah, you don't want to. You may not want to be alive. You may want to die and go up to Shemayim. But the Lamaisa, you're here and you're alive and you have a mission, which is to be talking in the world. Rabbi Akiva was able to be Nichlas Shalom Yasa B'Shalom. So Rabbi Akiva becomes the highest level of the Tanaim. He's the Tana through which all Tarshma bands are coming down. And you can see Rabbi Akiva being involved in both. He was both a mystic. There are lots of Gemaras which indicate that Rabbi Akiva was involved in some type of mystical practice. Well, at the same time, we know he was involved in politics. We know he was involved in military affairs. He was Bar Kokhba's shield bearer. He got involved in the nitty-gritty of the military affairs. We know he was able to mishalev. He was able to integrate both extremes, and that is the type of avoda that Rabbi Akiva has. Good. So that is so far so good. So I think for many of us, when I read this stuff, it's like, you don't really identify with the Ben Azai type, because I think we're just not such a spiritual person. But if you look at the Sefer Chasidus, this is like the ideal. Like you look in Shulchan Aruch even, it talks about the experience you're supposed to have in your daven. It talks about hispashtos agashmi. You're supposed to feel like your body is sort of like no longer existent, and you're just a nefesh. And that line in Shulchan Aruch becomes like a model in Sefer Chasidus. That part of your avodah is just like forget about your body. Obviously not ideal, not always, but it is like a major model in a Buddha session. And the Alter Rebbe is saying it's there, it's positive, and not positive to a degree. Ben Azai was a big tzaddik, but there's something lacking. It's not the full Derech HaTorah. Good. So that is Rabbi Akiva versus Ben Azai. So far, so good. Good. So let's move on to the second piece. The second piece is the Kutei Torah Reish Parsha Shmini. Here he's going to describe Rav Shimon Bar Yochai and the cave. Because if you think about what type of existence did Rav Shimon Bar Yochai have in the cave, it was totally this type of spiritualized existence. He was not living in society. He was not living among people. As Al Rabbi is going to point out, he didn't even have the physical items the mitzvahs with. He probably didn't have a lulav and esrog or matzah or shofar. He wasn't doing mitzvahs from a physical perspective. He lived this type of Ben Azai existence, a total spiritualized existence. Let's read it inside. It says, Inyan, Kish Beiz Mine Sadikim. The Alter Rebbe also often likes, creating these paradigms. It's almost like a Soviet, like these typologies. There are two types of Vodas Hashem, two types of Tzadikim, and two types of Tzadikim. Echad, Aleph, Othan Shem B'Seser, those Tzadikim that are hidden, Shabbatasim B'Ruchnius, they used to serve Hashem spiritually. Pirish B'Kavana Salev, they go through these spiritual experiences in the inside of their own hearts. L'Yachid Yehudim, to combine different parts of the universe, Yachin Yehudim Elyonim Uvchinas Alios, to constantly go up in their own Avodas Hashem. And what's his example of this? Could go in Rashbi, like Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, Keshaya Ben Ma'ara Yikim Moshana Shebevada Lo Yachol Akayim B'Maisa Kamim Mitzvos Maisius. No, nowhere does it say Hashem gave him matzah or lulav or shofar. Hashem gave him water and a carob tree. So he had water, he had a carob tree. But when Pesach came around, he probably would not fulfill the mitzvah matzah. How could it be Rashbi didn't fulfill the mitzvah matzah? He fulfilled it in some type of spiritual plane. He was Makavi in the Kavanos that matzah is supposed to guide you towards. So if you put, you can read the rest of the paragraph. If you put the two pieces together, which is what the Lubavitcher Rebbe does, it seems like Rashbi, early on in his career, at this stage, was exactly similar to Ben Azai, somebody who wasn't able to live in the regular world. Somebody who, if you're familiar with the story in Shabbos on Beth HaMagimel, he was so much of a kanai, he said the wrong thing, and that's why the Romans wanted to kill him. It's like he had no political savvy. He just said whatever he thought was right. He thought the Romans were Rishayim. He just blurted out the Romans were Rishayim, and the Romans wanted to kill him. It's not like not a way to live if you want to stay and fix things in the world. And then he runs away to a cave, and in the cave, he's there for 12 years, learning the secrets of the Zohar, learning Kabbalah, learning Torah, whatever he's learning there. And he's not even doing physical mitzvahs anymore. He's completely parush from this world. Good. What happens in the story? Right, he feels he looked at. They got burnt. And you could see that this, according, if you take this line of reasoning one step further, he was so kadosh, so holy, so parush, that like he just couldn't deal with the fact that there were these people that were just working the fields all day. And therefore, when he looked at them, they got burnt up. And what does Hashem say? There's a Baskel that comes out and it says, I didn't tell you to leave my cave to destroy my world. Go back to the cave. Goes back to the cave. And then after another year, he comes out again. And the Gemara says that he meets an old Jew who's running on a Friday afternoon holding two hadassim. And Shimon Kai asks him, what are you doing? He says, I'm running home with my two hadassim. He says, why two hadassim? He says, one for Zachar, one for Shamar. And what's the story supposed to teach us? I mean, we're supposed to see the Rabbah Rebbe going one step further than this even. Presumably, that if you see that people can work the field, they can grow hadassim in their field. It's not some things that grow in Eretz Yisrael. And they could use it for a mitzvah. And that is like the similar for Shimon Yochai, that the first time he left the cave, he wasn't acting properly. There's too much azakamavas ava. It was too much ava, too much azos, too much being parish, too much rotso without a shov. And he wasn't able to deal with the regular world. But the lesson Hashem was teaching him was that probably through the Torah he was learning in the cave, was that you could learn the deepest secrets of the Zohar. You could learn the deepest secrets of Kabbalah. But at the end of the day, those have to affect the real world. You have to do things l'maisa. You can't just hang out in the cave all day. You have to go back into society, go back into the world, go back and interact with regular people and help be metaking the world, help people fix the world through actions. And that is ultimately what the value of the Kabbalah that you learned, the Zohar that you learned in the cave. And in Chabad, I didn't find this in Al-Qur'an, but I'm sure it's there somewhere. I just couldn't find it last night. But it's Zafka the Zohar. It's Zafka the highest levels of Kabbalah that teach you this. In Chabad, it's almost always like this. Like, if once you become a little bit spiritual, you start being courageous from this world. But the highest levels of spirituality, the highest level of Hashem, you realize that ultimately what Hashem wants is for you to do very simple physical actions in this world with all the Kabbalahs, with all the experiences, with everything at. But the two ends are always going to combine. The way they say it is Sof Maisa Machshava Tchila. Sof Maisa Machshava Tchila. Machshava Tchila, the highest levels of Machshava, end up connecting with Sof Maisa, which is the simplest of actions. And therefore, the Torah that Shimon Yochai learned in the cave, Dafka, that 13th year, at the end of his stay in the cave, the deepest levels of Kabbalah was what taught him that really what I should be doing in my life, in addition to studying Kabbalah and doing all these amazing things in terms of my own level of spirituality, is to go out there and help people fix the world. It's to do mitzvos maisios and help people in a very physical, real, live way. Let's see the Lubavitch Rebbe putting this all together. I gave you the last two pages of the Kuntz Sichos Chiluk HaBeis and the Sichos for Lag BaOmer. So what the Lubavitch Rebbe is trying to do, he's trying to figure out how could it be, it's a question a lot of people ask, that why did the student Rebbe Kiva have to die? The Gemara says because lo nagu kavod zeh bazeh, they didn't respect each other. The question is like, you know, Rebbe Kiva was a big Vatan Rekha Kamoka person. How could his students not be knowing kavod zeh bazeh? So the Lubavitch Rebbe says, then what does it mean that the students Rebbe Kiva were not knowing kavod zeh bazeh? It's that time. What does it mean that the students from Yekiva were not knowing kavod zeh bazeh? It means, I'm sorry, I just lost it on my page. It means that they were so involved in Ratzo, they were so involved in their own spirituality, they were so involved in their own Havas Hashem, that they didn't treat each other with the proper respect. They weren't able to do simple favors for each other. And if you look at the next page, Ozdalid, he spent the first half of the sefer talking about how amazing the Avodas Hashem of the students of Rebbe Kiva must have been. He says, "Afal pikein mebli habeit agoda ilush shavavadasam lo haya davar kfiya kavana b'shleimusa." As even though their Avodas Hashem was on such a high level, it wasn't perfect, wasn't complete. Avodas Hashem as sirus nefesh kishala atzma mevias azam avchinas ratzo ratzon latzeis miholam litavek kadosh baruch hu b'klos nefesh. That they only experience, like Ben Azai, the Ratzo, they're running towards Hashem, the Ava. But because they were so spiritual, because they were willing to give up everything for Hashem, they weren't able to deal with other people in a proper fashion. They weren't able to create a nice, loving society where people worked towards creating something better. And that was their chait. And because their chait, Because they had to be removed from the scene, they were pure Ratzel without Shov. Look in the footnotes here. I didn't give you the footnotes, but Balmachelbi quotes this piece, the first piece from the Alter Rebbe that we saw, that Ben Azai only had Ratzel without Shov. And all the students of Rabbi Akiva had this level of Ratzel without Shov. It's only Rav Shimon Bar Yochai who, after the whole story, who was among Rabbi Akiva's second batch of students, after the story of the cave, came upon this realization and was able to reach a level of Avodas Hashem who had both the Ratzel of the Shov, who was able to combine the two extremes, the deepest levels of Kabbalah with going back into the regular world and doing mitzvos maizios in order to help people. If you look at the one second, my page keeps on jumping. Yeah, look at the third paragraph over here. He says that the Gemara's language is that all the students of Rabbi Akiva died, Chayal Olam Shamim, and the world was desolate. And the simple pshat of the Gemara is that the Torah world was desolate, because there was nobody studying Torah anymore. But the Baba Shafi says, what does it mean, Chayal Olam Shamim, the world was desolate? It means that they didn't care about the world, and that's what they had to die. V'yish lomar, shizel gam ha-perish ha-pnimi, v'maimar chazal, v'kula mesu, v'nishal nago kavazel zauzeh, the world was desolate because they didn't care to build up the world. They didn't care about the physical aspects of Avodas Hashem. They just cared about the spiritual aspects. Even their Avodas Hashem was pure mysterious nefesh, giving up their soul, wanting to die, Ratzel running towards Hashem. But the actual world around them was going up in flames, and they didn't care because they were so involved in their own personal Avodas Hashem. And that's why Rashbi was such a revolution, was Rashbi, Dafka, the one who is the teachers, who understood the deepest levels of Kabbalah, is the one who was able to leave the cave in the end of the day and come into the world and fulfill the Veshov, coming back and bringing those lessons, that spirituality, everything that's there, and channeling it to fix the world. That's why, if you're familiar with the end of the story, the end of the story in Brachot and Shabbos, I should have put the Gemara on the page. It's like a super fascinating Gemara. But the Gemara says Rashbi comes back after he meets this guy, the old Jew with the two hadassim. He comes back to town, and he asks the people there, "Ikanosa the Bayi Latune, is there something that has to be fixed? Is there something I can help you with?" And they tell him, "Yeah, there actually is something that needs to be fixed. There's a marketplace where people want to go for business. People want to go to buy stuff." And we know that there are mason, that there are corpses buried underneath the road towards the marketplace. And the Kohanim can't go. The Kohanim can't go because they don't know where the kfaros are. So the Gemara says, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai went, and mystically, magically, whatever it was, he was able to demarcate where the kfarim were. And that allowed the Kohanim to go to the shuk. So what's going on at the end of the story? Like, why is that the coda? Why is that the conclusion of the story of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai and the cave and the Lag BaOmer? So you look at the last page over here. The Baba Shavri says, "V'ofen avoda zem atzino begiloi as harashbi." This type of avoda, Rabbi Akiva, something that was extended by Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. "V'ofen yigil l'shana shayom b'marva." Those 13 years he was in the cave. "Harei hayal pizburus v'rikak me'olam." He was away, isolated from everybody. "Adin shelo yisabi adoy chos akayim kamitzvos maizios." He wasn't able to do physical mitzvos, like the other Rebbe says. He was purely Ratzel, he was spiritual. But in the end of the day, the fact that he was in the cave for 13 years didn't cause him to live the rest of his life in isolation. It caused him to throw himself back into society and throw himself back into people. Shimon Bar Yochai was able to heal people at the end. He brought healing to the world. He asked people, "Is there anything I can fix?" He searched after things which you could fix in the world. And that's why Shimon Bar Yochai was such a unique level of Avodas Hashem. It's not just the Torah and Nisar and the Kabbalah and the Zohar, and the understanding of the Nefesh, and the Neshama, and God, and the world, and everything else in Tanya that's so important. Shimon Bar Yochai was unique, because he brought this integration into the world. He brought this, the fact that if you're doing all those things and you're doing it properly, you're not going to be isolated. You're not going to separate yourself from physical actions and regular people. You're also going to throw yourself into those things and channel your higher levels of Avodas Hashem into helping people as much as possible. Again, this is a, I'm not saying that every Hasidish Torah you find about Lag BaOmer is going to be like this. A lot of Hasidish Torahs, even some Chabad Torahs, only emphasize the Torah Sinistar of Lag BaOmer. The Lag BaOmer brings Pnei Basar into the world. But this is like a strand you find all throughout Chabad, that the higher up you go in Torah Sinistar, the lower your reach is going to be in terms of being able to fix things in this world and help out things on a regular basis. And in Chabad, you know, this is what the last of Abish Rabbi was after, as much as possible, studying Torah Sinistar, memorizing Tanya, going through you know, Zohar and Tanya as much as possible. At the same time, making sure you're doing it in a way that you're not isolating yourself from the world. You're doing it in a way that it causes you to throw yourself into the world and try to fix things, try to fix society as much as possible through Torah mitzvahs. And that ultimately, as we're going to see next week, is going to lead directly to the reality of Yimus Mashiach, which will, God willing, we'll see the description of Yimus Mashiach next week in time. Tanya's description of Yimus Mashiach, we'll see why it has to be the shiloh, it has to be this integration.